WHM Mobile.
Heading back to my hometown of Chattanooga, Tennessee. Just had the radio here on scan and picked up this repeater, so not sure where exactly it is, but I'm here on, what is this, Congaree Road at Roper Mountain Road here in Greenville.
Blue Ridge Amateur Radio Society's Peter. Repeater, it's 146610, and it is located on Caesar's Head Mountain, about 3,500 feet, so you actually should be able to talk on it for a good ways. I'm all the way over here in Hartwell, Georgia, talking on it on my mobile, so it's a good repeater, very active, and very friendly.
Very cool. Well, I will, I'll keep the radio locked in here and see if I make any more contacts. That's good to hear. So I'm on a FTM 300 here in my car. You said you was on a HT. What are you talking on? You sound pretty good.
Well, in my car, it's the I'm on a Anytone 578. I can't remember the numbers that go with it, but it's one of the DMR radios as well. And by the way, this is Bill here on this end, M4WHM. And as you get close to Chattanooga or into Georgia, if you go that way, you can pick up 146610, 146. Oh, I got to think about it a minute. There's a big repeater in Georgia, too. Hang on, let me think. Repeater in Georgia is in Gainesville, Georgia, and it's at 2,500 feet, and it's 146670, and it covers just about all of North Georgia and up into Chattanooga.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm going to be heading on 85 south, making my way to 285 west and then on into Chattanooga. But what was that repeater again that you said would cover all the way up into Chattanooga? I think you, I blanked out there for a minute. I wasn't paying attention, so my apologies on that.
146670 receive, and 146 010 on the transmit, and the PL tone is 131.8.
I'm going to do my very best to remember that, and that'd be kind of cool, carrying me all the way on back to my hometown there. That's pretty cool.
The LARC repeater is another good repeater. It's very active like this one, and it's, like I said, it covers from about Macon north, and I can hit it from here in Hartwell, which is, you know, right on the Georgia-South Carolina line on I-85. Just as clear as a bell. So between the Georgia and South Carolina repeater, I get pretty good coverage.
Well, now, does this repeater have any other features like All-Star or Fusion or any of those digital sides, or is this strictly FM?
This particular frequency, I could be wrong, but I believe is FM. There are several other frequencies in the Greenville area owned by the radio club that has some digital and, like I said, Fusion, different things like that. Also in Anderson, South Carolina, you got a DMR repeater. So there's Echo Link, of course. So there's a lot going on. If you happen to take a break, you can do BARC Radio Club, and that'll bring up the club website and tell you everything about it. And LARC is the one in Georgia. Tell you everything about it. So they know a lot more on the website than I do.
deal, good deal, brother. Well, hey, man, I greatly appreciate the QSO here, and can't remember if I told you my name or not. Name here is Jason, call sign KN4YLF, that's Kilo November 4, Yankee Lima Foxtrot. So, hey, I appreciate it, brother, and I'll just be standing by continuing to monitor.
You have a good one.
I'm fixing to reach my destination of home. Been to the big metropolis Walmart. Picked up a grocery order and get home and get it unloaded. So, but safe travels. Hope you get back home safe and sound and get there when you want to. So, have a great trip. Good to hear you. If you're back in the area, just call out and usually somebody will be around. And same thing with the LARC club. They just call out and you'll get somebody there. So 73, my friend, be safe. This is M4WHM. I'll be clear on your final.
Again, and safe travels to you as well. KN4YLF, I'll be standing by.
Anything cooking for me this afternoon? N4DJC.
What was that? All I caught was, did I have anything this afternoon?
If you were cooking me anything this afternoon, N4DJC.
It's going to be a bologna sandwich today. We were out of groceries, and I literally have a carload, about $400 worth of groceries. So by the time we get all that put up and done, being 4 o'clock, I'm probably just going to eat a ham or bologna sandwich. I worked a football game yesterday, and it wore me out, so I've been taking it easy today.
Down there, I said hello, and I'll let you unload that $400, a bunch of groceries. I'll let you guys get this stuff unloaded. Talk to you later in this evening, maybe. N4DJC clear.
WHM clear. Have a good one. Be safe.
Sticks on my tower, having my tower done, and be ready to get some antennas put on it.
How tall is it going to be with the two more sticks?
At 60 feet. It'll probably be about 70 feet, or about 73 feet probably to the first antenna, to the bottom of the first antenna. And the next one will probably it'll be 70 or 80 feet, but I'm going to do a tilt-over tower next. It's easier to tilt it over than it is to try to find somebody to climb it for you.
I was going to ask, is that a guide? Is it a guide or is it freestanding? I guess it's guide, huh? The repeater?
What?
Hey, I didn't hear you. Where'd you go?
Acting crazy there. I hear it beep at me. But yeah, it'll be a completely guided. guide to the tower by the time it's said and done, but the good thing about it is if I ever decide to go any taller, I can always take the antennas in the top section off and make it a little taller. I can always still add guide cables to it.
Or anyway, my dad's was freestanding, and it was 70 feet tall. And when my cousin and I were building it, it swayed a lot with both of us on there, freestanding at 70 feet. When we put the last section on it and started to put the antenna on there, it was we were swaying back and forth quite a bit. We both weighed probably about 145, 150 pounds apiece. And so 300 pounds, 70 feet up on a freestanding tower, it got kind of spooky.
Problem I have just by myself, you know, with, you know, my weight, I weigh 312. That's what they told me at the doctor's office the other day, so I went from 340 to 312, so that's kind of the problem I have is, you know, when I reached that 30-foot mark, I had a little bit of sway to it, and, you know, I didn't want to go any higher with no guide cables on it, so we got the cable put on it. And then I got up there and got the next section up, and I got one more section laid on the ground to get up there, then I got to build the top section. I had a guy's number that was, or email address over next to Clemson or Seneca or somewhere back in there that was going to help me, but when I swapped telephones, I guess it kicked his email out. I don't have it no more.
You don't happen to know his call sign, that you can look it up on QRZ if you know his call sign.
Yeah, if I knew his call sign, I could pull him up on QRZ, but I don't know his call sign. I can't remember. It's been a long time ago when he told me that. Probably been a year and a half ago.
I know they used to do that, or beyond the age to continue to do that anymore. So they've aged out, let's put it that way. They're not doing that kind of work anymore. So you got to find some. That's another reason it's important we get youngsters involved in this hobby so that they can help us put up towers and antennas.
Well, climbing it, I mean, I can climb it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Now, the heights do bother me, but, I mean, it don't bother me that much. It's my hips and my knees is what really killed me. Where my feet is so big, by the time I try to stand on, you know, that Ron 25, and, you know, to get a good sitting spot, I really have to tie off really close to the tower, you know, in order to let my chain hang down to where I can take some weight off my legs. And that last time I did that, I couldn't get up, you know, to that next run to do that. And, boy, it wore me out for about 3 days afterwards. My hip was killing me.
JW, that's the same kind of problem that I had with climbing towers, is my feet. I mean, even if I used hard-soled shoes, you still feel that rod drilling up into your, you know, your foot. And it hurts after a while. You know, just climbing it and climbing back down, no problem. But when you're standing there for a long time, that hurts. You need some climbing gear like Johnny and Landon have when they climb the tower up there at Caesar's Head. They've got things that they, clips that they can put on bars and stuff like that, and that takes the weight off of their feet.
I'm thinking about building me a platform. You know, they make one. Ron 45 or Ron 25 makes a platform, but them things is about $150 a piece. And I'm thinking about making me one to where I can actually take and hook it into the legs and let it rest against the legs. It's got to have a top piece and a bottom piece with the hooks on it to hook the legs. And that would be a lot easier trying to stand on it as to lean off of it, you know. It's easier to stand up than it is to lean backwards. But the harness I have, I mean, the harness can take it. I mean, that's no big deal. It's got the hooks around the waist. You know, and that big old, that chain thing that I got, it works really well. But just leaning back, that's what kills my hip. If I could stand straight up on a little platform, I'd be all right. But that's with rocky logging boots on. You know, and that, Them Rocky logging boots, they don't really help that much when that little rail's in between the, you know, the sole of the boot.
I thought about how I would do that. It would not be economical, but I think I would put up three towers and build a platform on rollers between the three. I only have a separation of about 6 feet between each tower, and build a triangle-shaped platform that had roller wheels on it and a winch at the bottom. So you go stand on that platform between those three towers, and you turn on the winch, and it raises you to the top. And then when you're ready to come down, you turn the winch in the other direction. And
I've thought about that. Well, there's a thing that they make that actually rides up a tower, but I don't know. It's a lot of money. I mean, you know, if it's going to be, you know, something, you know, you come up with pretty easy, not a lot of money, I mean, I would say, yeah, but, you know, trying to get over all this laid off for the COVID and, you know, and all that stuff, try to get everything put back in place that we've done spent. So, I mean, it takes a good penny away from you.
I know exactly what you're talking about, but you're right. It would be expensive. That's the second reason I don't have a tower, and the first reason is because the HOA wouldn't let me have it, even if the funding wasn't an issue.
That's me. I mean, you know, buying the tower ain't no big deal, but getting it put up, you know, I mean, that's the problem. You gotta have some of them young guys to, you know, climb it, stuff like that. A lot of people don't want to climb them for free. You know, they want you to pay them something, you know, and which, I mean, I can understand that, I guess. You know, especially, you know, if they do it for a living. You know, a lot of people climb these cell towers and everything else, you know, and a lot of them people, you know, they want some good dollars to climb up there.
AC6IW.
W4DJW, go ahead.
I'm thinking about something. I'm looking for someone that could climb a tree in my backyard just to put I want to do a infed, like an L antenna, and have it up at about 60 feet into the crotch of the tree at the top. But I don't know if I'm would be accurate enough to like shoot a slingshot or something else like that up there. And I was thinking maybe I could get someone to just climb up the tree with climbing gear and put it up there. But do you know of a solution for something like that? I want to do a wire antenna.
Go ahead and take that one. Let me see if I got it. Some different ways. I think a lot of people like the potato gun, right? The one that's like a little short potato gun with a rod and reel, with a reel, not the rod, reel on top of it. And it shoots like projectiles, like tennis balls. So that's one way, potato gun. Another one is the wrist rocket. And then there's another one, the one that the tree fellers use, the guys that cut down trees for a living. It's called a big shot slingshot. It's about a 6 foot tall slingshot with rubber bands that are about an inch in diameter. And if you're a ham radio operator, it'd be good if you just had one. Because if you like hanging antennas out of trees, it will shoot a hacky sack that's towing a waxed line up. And you can get pretty accurate with that. And the waxed line is kind of heavy; it doesn't float with the breeze like the fishing line does. So if you're looking to do it yourself, out of all the different ways that I've tried, the big stick slingshot is the best. Used by the tree fillers, is the best one. And then probably the potato gun, a little short sawed-off version of the potato gun. Go ahead, Kevin. I don't know if you got any ideas.
Well, the only other thing I have, I mean, to get you aluminum arrow, and you know, like a kid's bow. That's how I get mine up in the trees at the house. Yeah, you got to use a thin, like a 20 pound fishing line, and then tie it to a, you know, whatever you're going to pull up there. If you're going to use a poly cord or whatever you're going to use, and pull the poly cord up and then have it on the end of your antenna. That's the way I do mine at the house. I mean, it works pretty well. The only other idea I got, if I got the repeater, come down in here around Hickory Tavern, it's a little scratchy back here. KN4UBG for ID.
Yeah, my concern is, like, I know I probably wouldn't be very accurate with something like a bow and arrow. I'd probably miss and stick it in the tree or something like that and create a bigger problem. Where would I find something like the potato gun or the thing that you say the tree people use? Where would I locate something like that to buy?
I just now made it home from the airfield. But the big stick, you can just Google big stick slingshot, and it'll take you to their page where they sell it. And for the potato gun, if you do that antenna hanging potato gun or launcher, and something like that, you'll be able to find, there's hundreds of variations on that. And I think Bob in D7J has one that's his favorite, that he's probably done that a lot too, so he'd be a good one to get up with when you hear him on here. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Bill, and then I'm going to be out. I'll be listening, but I'm unloading the truck. W4DJW. And Kevin, good talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a long time. Go ahead, pick it up, Bill.
You getting off-bed center dipole antenna up in trees, and I come up with two solutions. One was I found a tree cutting company that was in the neighborhood and offered them $100 to come do it, and they agreed, but it started, the weather went bad, and I ended up renting a 35-foot lift to put it up myself. My yard is pretty flat and hard, so, but, you know, that's just one other option.
With a tree person. AC6IW. My name is Jeff, Juliet Echo, Foxtrot. I'm in Greenville.
Pull that channel 2 pick it up. I'm kind of down in here, about here between Hickory Tavern and Warren Shoals right here. And I got the repeater very scratchy down here where I'm at, but I'm going to let y'all pick it up. I'm going to say 73 to both of y'all. And good talking to you there, Dave, and you have a good one, and we'll pick it back up another time. KN4UBG, I'll be clear.